From the First Midwest Bank State Street Studio, this is ESPN 1000.
WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago.
A Good Karma Brands radio station.
It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
Hi.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
All right, let's talk some football coaching search. We've hit a lot of the playoff action from this weekend, gave you the gambling tips. I want to get into some bowls a little bit later as well. And
by the way, there's some news that won't that will shock you. Bosa has cleared concussion protocol, so he'll play.
I'm so surprised that he got better. He got better just in the nick of time from the concussion. Yeah, you knew he's going to play.
Of course, yeah.
And then I Adam Abdallah told me that Wink Martindale, the longtime DC in Baltimore, was just fired.
Yeah, that's what I hear. I'd keep an eye on two guys. I'd keep an eye on Vic because of the Harbaugh connection, and I'd keep an eye on Mike Zimmer. Is that the other name possibly as well?
Zim.
Like, you know, Zim can coordinate a defense.
Remember.
Not his own.
Remember, Vic and John got into it over the season.
Vic gets into it with everybody.
I know, right? He's
Vic gets into it with his own coaches.
Right. And then the Bears have concluded interviews with one general manager and one coaching candidate today.
Okay.
Ryan Poles from the Chiefs, his interview was completed. And Leslie Frazier, the former Bear and now defensive coordinator for the Buffalo Bills. He was a one-time former head coach of the Minnesota Vikings as well. Someone I put money down on to get the job through Carmen DeFalco at plus 550.
I got to tell you that I know this is difficult. I know what people are going to say. Why can't you do two things? If you understand the life of an NFL coach, especially one that is in the postseason, I find it, I mean, like, and I know that this happens, but it's, you know, I mean, that's a tough interview for somebody to have. You're focused on trying to stop Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. And at the same time, you're trying to make sure that you're prepared and your presentation is one that makes an impact on another team as you pursue their head coaching vacancy.
That's a good point.
If you said to me that, like, for whatever reason, let's use Les as an example, because Les is trying to dial up that Buffalo defense to be ready for the game against the Chiefs. If you say, like, wow, Les seemed a bit distracted. Well, hell yeah, Les is distracted.
Well, not only distracted, but, you know, if you really want to prepare yourself for an interview, you don't just go in with, hey, here's who are my coaches, here's who's a front office guy. Like, you look at the Bears roster, you look at Bears film, and you say to them how you're going to fix a lot of the guys. Here's what I think about your defensive roster right now.
Yep.
I don't think Khalil Mack has it in him anymore. I think we got to eat the dead money, and I think we've got to get something for him on the trade market. Robert Quinn, I know he had 18.5 sacks. I think we need to start fresh on defense. Here's what I think about your offensive line as I look at it from a defensive coordinator standpoint.
No chance of getting all that done.
You can't do that.
Nope.
You can't. There's not enough hours in the day where you can prepare for the Kansas City Chiefs, maybe the biggest game that the Bills have played in since their last Super Bowl that they were in. I mean, I don't know how you could argue with that.
No, I think you're right.
I
think the point is a valid one too. It's just I get it. If he can't, if you get a candidate whose team has been eliminated and he's had all this extra time to kind of put together his presentation, and you compare that against a guy who's the defensive coordinator, who's getting ready for, you know, the most explosive offense we've seen in the league in the last two or three years. It seems like almost like an unfair exercise.
Do you want all the names? Kevin Fishbane has tweeted out all the names that they have talked to thus far.
Yeah, let me write all this down.
All right, head coaches.
I'm not going to write all this down.
Leslie Frazier, Byron Leftwich, Matt Eberflus, Brian Daboll, Nathaniel Hackett, Jim Caldwell, Brian Flores, Doug Peterson.
Like, and it doesn't, listen, Eberflus has had two bites at that apple, right? He's been interviewed twice?
He's scheduled to get his second interview early next week.
Okay, like, I wouldn't be shocked if Eberflus, who's now got extra time on his hands because his Colts couldn't stop the Jaguars, is able to go, you know, and have a more detailed presentation for the job versus Les or you know, somebody else who's still involved, or Byron Leftwich, who's trying to find a way to put it on the Rams defense. He's got to find a way to protect 44-year-old all-time great Tom Brady this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, like you said, give the Bears and Bill Polian a full description of how he would handle their situation.
Right. The general manager candidate's Ryan Poles from the Chiefs, who we mentioned. Poles is getting a second interview as well from the Vikings. This was his first interview today with the Bears. He's already been requested as a finalist for the Vikings general manager's job. Reggie McKenzie, Rand Carthon, Elliot Wolf, Ed Dodds has pulled out. He was interviewed. Joe Shane was interviewed, but he was hired today by the New York Giants. Monte Ozenfort, Jeff Ireland, Champ Kelly, who's internal, Quezzy Adolfo Mensa, he's getting a second interview, I believe, with the Giants or the Vikings.
Not the Giants. The Giants have already hired Joe Shane.
Oh, that's right, right. Yeah. I meant the Vikings. Quezzy Adolfo Mensa is getting a second interview with the Vikings as well. And then there's Glenn Cook.
I still don't understand why every time I hear Ed Dodd's name, I laugh. I'm just like,
we created him into a character.
I know, and like, he was advertised as a guy that, you know, is very particular about this, that he's pulled his name out of the running in other situations because it's got to be the perfect spot for him. But I don't know why. I just have this vision. I close my eyes and I see some guy going in there and telling them a bunch of stuff they don't want to hear. And they're like, get the hell out.
And then at the end, he puts down a note and it says, Ballard sent me.
Yes, exactly.
You know, just like Chris Ballard, who didn't get the job, who wanted the job. Back in the day. Did you see what Cap tweeted out? I did not get to view the video.
I did not.
But Cap does these recaps on Twitter, these videos that he does in front of his fridge and his new tiling in his kitchen renovation.
Let me look at this. Is it beautiful tiling?
Beautiful.
That's nice.
I think he got it from Studio 41.
41, they've dolled up his kitchen.
Yeah, he's had his kitchen renovated. For sure.
That's awesome.
But again, he's high and mighty on how this is going here, Waddle. He says, here's today's recap of day 18 of the Bears fan base held hostage by a search process that one high-level sports search firm boss told me today looks to him like a blank show with so many candidates. Mm. Hashtag take that.
Was there a hashtag take that, or did you add that?
No. Hashtag
take that.
Yeah, it's there.
So there's a feeling out there that there's too many names.
Well, that's from one search.
I
retweeted back. I said, look, I guess you could say it's not done with conviction that Ryan Pace did.
Oh,
Mitch Trubisky.
Here we go again.
That's what my
guy.
I don't need to talk to anybody else. I don't need to talk to Deshaun Watson. Why expand my list? Like Mitch. Let's trade up from 3 to 2. Let's do it. Let's hurry. Let's go, go, go. We got to get Mitch.
Once again, the Sylvie-Bruce Kaplan relationship on steadier ground than the Sylvie-David Kaplan relationship.
You know what I said earlier, and you called it angst and premature angst. What I'm a little worried. I'm cool with the amount of candidates. I think it's cool to grab a wide net, especially with technology today. I don't think you have to hurry against the Giants and the Vikings, especially with all these names. And you know, and if there's a guy that you liked and was snatched up by the Giants, good luck to him. Yeah, there's plenty of qualified guys, but. What I was more concerned on, are we doing all these interviews simply to just hire a Bill Polian?
Well,
guy?
Let me ask you a question. When you get older, have you become less or more patient?
I'm more patient.
As you got older?
Yes, for sure.
Really?
Than younger me? Oh, yeah.
Well, I guess I'm looking at it differently because now I wasn't. Then I was because my kids were younger, and now I'm not anymore. Like, I'm old. I don't have time for all that.
Really?
Crap.
I mean, I
it's a cycle. It's a cycle for
impatient.
Me.
I've evolved.
Well, but your kids have made you patient.
Sure.
My point is when your kids are all 18 and older, you may revert back to being the impatient person. That I'm saying that's how I put myself in that category. So if your concern is that Bill Polian is just going through the motions, going to hire one of his friends, then why would he sit through all of these interviews?
I don't know.
Because of what?
Because it's a sham. I don't know. It's a charade.
Bill Polian's not going to engage in a sham and a charade in a month.
So I'm not as strong on it with Cap. I'm good with waiting and going through I just want to make sure, like Weederer said, do they know even what they're looking for? Do they have even a plan? You know, is the plan to hire the general manager first? All that stuff is what I'm concerned about. Are they doing it with a target in mind?
I think that I don't think Bill Polian. I have confidence that Bill Polian would do this GM first and then coach, unless there was a wild card out there that kind of didn't fit in that formula. And again, to me, there's really only one of those guys, and that would be Sean Payton. Maybe Jim Harbaugh would possibly fit into that conversation as well. But I Bill has done this at a Hall of Fame level. Do you think Bill feels like the right thing to do is to hire a coach and then get that guy's boss second? I mean, I can't think that that's the way that Bill Polian would do this.
The reason why there's more speculation today is because Dan Graziano wrote, and he said earlier today on one of the shows, that Jim Caldwell, who is a Polian guy, he was the successor in Indy after they had won their Super Bowl. And he took over a really good team, brought them to another Super Bowl, I think, in their first year, took over for Dungy. And that he has canceled interviews, or at least not even accepted interviews with other teams, leading to speculation that does he already have a job lined up? That's the only fear here.
I mean, listen, I get why, you know, Dan connects those dots. I get why people connect some of that stuff. I wouldn't I would not push all my chips in on that, but I get it. Listen, again, we're all grasping at this point because it's hard to find a leak here, not because they're not a leaky building, but because, like, George doesn't have a guy. Ted doesn't have a guy. Like, I'm just saying, like, do you think that, like, Shefty is dialed in with George? And it's not that Shefty's not great at his job. He is. I don't think George would tell anybody anything.
Yeah. Have they, and I know someone wants to ask, we'll get to his call soon, about Rick Smith. I want to find, have they interviewed him? What are they waiting for on Rick Smith? I don't. So he was supposed to be a target. I don't think
today the scheduled day for the Rick Smith interview.
They didn't announce it because they announced they interviewed Poles and Frazier.
Yeah, and again, these days everything seems to be publicized, or everyone's got. I mean, I don't know how much of this there was back in the day. You had no idea really who was interviewing for what. I mean, or at the very least, some of it went under the radar a little bit more so than it does today.
All right, so let's discuss that, and then I want to ask you about Joshy Football. I don't know if you've seen the shocking story regarding Joshy Football, and I've got a question about. I want to go contrarian on you, and because you know he's my guy, so I'm going to defend him to a point. That's coming up.
Miss a show? All your faves ready and waiting on the ESPN Chicago app.
You are listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
You want to talk some coaching search with us, football, Bulls, and we have a special guest in 10 minutes right now. Mike in Hinsdale wants to get after the coaching conversation. Then I got some Josh McCown for you. Hey, Mike, you're on ESPN 1000. What's on your mind?
What's going on, fellas? Happy Friday. I just don't understand why Rick Smith is not being hired tomorrow. And then you can bring him in. They can give them their top four coaching candidates that they've already interviewed and let him pick from there and let him interview them himself.
Mike is a name that I've mentioned a bunch. Like, I'm not smart enough with regard to who all the front office guys are to have that strong of a statement from my opinion. He is intriguing to me because of his experience and with the void that exists up there. Like, Ted wasn't qualified to be a football guy, qualified to be the business guy, but not qualified to make a ton of football decisions. He's going to move to the side. The president's role doesn't exist anymore, and when it did for the last 23 years, it wasn't filled by a football guy. If you put another first-time general manager in that chair, it may work. I mean, I'm not saying it won't, but like Ryan Pace, you talk to people from the Ryan Pace experience, and they'll tell you that like Ryan didn't really have anyone to turn to at times for good advice. Like, Sylvia, you've said, maybe if Ryan had someone he could, you know, bend
Leon,
their ear.
Who knew football.
Yeah, that they would have talked him out of the process he underwent to find the quarterback, you know?
That's it. Like, again, like, it's always that flawed process. And if Ryan's sitting there and he goes, look, I'm really convicted on this guy, Mitch. I've been really liking him. I don't want this to get out. I don't want John to know. Football president goes, what do you mean you don't want John to know? He's our football coach.
Yeah.
He likes to talk. I don't want anyone to know about this. Football president would go, now let's think this through, Rye. If we don't tell the coach and we draft this guy, you're expecting this guy to develop him. You've already now ruined the trust. You've broken the trust. How do you expect to trust that guy to develop your quarterback if you keep him out of the process? Like,
so
it doesn't
Mike,
make any sense.
And Mike, to get back to your thought, like, I think if Rick Smith has that role, there's more experience there than there is with a lot of people, and I think Rick's worn all of the different hats. I'm coming from a position without having a ton of knowledge about all these front office people. I just feel a little more secure and safe with him. Not to mention, he's got a very good resume.
What I would do? Thanks for the call. I would skirt the system, too. If I'm Rick Smith, well, you know, there's no president, and I think he was VP at the end of his Houston run, so he would just be general manager. I would just rename everything. You know, you're the general manager, and then you have, like, three assistant general managers. And then you have a pro personnel and a director of college scouting.
Right.
While you act like the football president, even though you're the GM, and then you hire your assistant general managers like they're your GMs. Do you know what I mean?
I do.
Build it out.
And listen, this general manager is going to be in charge of everything, right? There may be some people up there that would tell you they need to build out their analytics staff. They need to build out this area. They need to build out that area. They need to redo some of this and a little bit of that. You got one guy to do all of that right now.
Yep, exactly. I want to ask you about Josh McCown. Josh McCown, if you missed the story, and I think he did talk to Jacksonville too. But Houston, I haven't seen if there's anything developing here. Houston, the word is, really would like to hire Josh McCown, who has never coached in an NFL level, on a college level. I believe he's coached his son in high school or was like a coordinator there.
The Texans interviewed him last year.
Yes, and they'd really like to hire him this year, the word is. And then Pro Football Talk had an article saying they would like it more legitimized by having another team interview him. And I think I read this afternoon that Jacksonville did talk to him.
I did not see that, but I did see the article that the Texans were hoping somebody else would talk to him to, like you said, make their pursuit seem more legitimate.
So a lot of people are up in arms saying he's cutting the line, that he's not putting his dues. Here's my only question, and I know football is much, much different than baseball, much different, and much different than the NBA. It's all different. Everything's different. It's apples and oranges I'm comparing. But guys who retire from the NBA step right into the head coaching role these days. Guys who retire from baseball these days have no managerial experience, maybe a year in the booth, and then they go and they become baseball managers. We've heard that Caserio likes to wear the headset, much like baseball, where the manager's job is to just go by the book of analytics. Maybe he just needs McCown as the figurehead. Is it as crazy as it sounds when you look at the other sports who have hired coaches fresh off the field or the court?
We were having this conversation at the last break a little bit because it is more common for a guy like David Ross to go from the booth to the front, you know, top step.
Joe Girardi,
yeah.
There are many guys, who've done it. Doc Rivers, I think, did it in the NBA, right?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, you've got guys like, my first question is to the Houston Texans would be, why Josh and not Byron Leftwich, who's got a Super Bowl ring as the offensive coordinator for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, or Eric Bieniemy, who's been calling plays in Kansas City for quite some time? I mean, those are all going to be questions that I think are legitimate questions that would be asked at the end of the day.
What about Steve Nash and why not someone else who's been an assistant coach for 10 years?
It's an excellent point. I don't know why they'd go that direction. I really don't. But I mean, I know there's a fondness, and obviously Josh is interested because he sat and listened to what they had to say. And he played in the league for how long? 13, 14 years?
Uh-huh. And people have, like, hired him to be their backup quarterback simply because they like him as a coach, you know, in the room. You know what I mean? Like, you always said, if you want him as the coach, hire him as the coach. But obviously the pay isn't as good.
Well, I mean, why can't you hire him to be your offensive coordinator so he can kind of learn as a...
Maybe he wouldn't be a play caller. Maybe he would be this John Harbaugh type who isn't a specialist in anything, but he's the overseer of the staff, and he's a good figurehead for the team, and
John Harbaugh was a coach in the league for, 10 years before it happened.
But I'm saying that there are many guys who never call plays on any level. Like, calling plays may not solve anything. Now, Jim Harbaugh, for an example. Here's a good example. I think Jim Harbaugh with the Raiders was like a quality control guy, or at least I don't even know if he was the quarterback's coach.
Yeah, right. That's how he got his NFL start. Yeah,
his NFL start the year that the Raiders went to the Super Bowl against the Bucs. That way back in the early 2000s, Jim Harbaugh was just like a coaching intern. Ron Rivera, coaching intern, guys like that. A lot of those guys have to go through a lot, former players, to be eventual coaches.
You're describing, you are right. There is a difference between baseball and the NBA and the NFL. There's more of a pay your dues mentality in the NFL, where there's like steps that you take. You start quality control, you become a position coach, you're a coordinator, then you become a head coach. I mean, that's kind of been the pattern. Whether or not that's the right route or the wrong route, that has been the route. And I think I think, especially with what the Houston Texans got going on in their world right now, I mean, they're inviting a whole lot of criticism.
They don't care, do they? They don't care about the criticism anymore. Yeah,
they may not.
Like, think about what they got going on in there, not just with David Culley, not just with this guy who came from the Patriots.
Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. That's the biggest one. No one knows what's going to happen with Deshaun Watson.
The NFL, again, is more of a pay-your-dues kind of situation. Like, look at Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan, his dad was a head coach in the league, and you can argue nepotism with regard to him just getting involved as a position coach. But Kyle Shanahan climbed the ladder. I mean, position coach, you know, quarterback coach, coordinator, then head coach. It would be out of the ordinary for sure if, in fact, they turned to Josh McCown and made him a head coach in the National Football League with no coaching experience.
Yeah, Cuddy didn't join us today. He's going to join us on Monday. I'm interested in picking his brain on Monday about Josh because, you know, that's when you knew, like, that Josh McCown can get along with anybody.
Well,
right?
Not just, yes, no doubt. And look, I think Josh, if this was something he wanted to do, would be a great coach. But Josh has also got kids, and he, you know, I mean, what if Josh McCown gets involved in this? Is like, oh, hell, man, I didn't realize that.
Right.
I didn't want to. Well, that's why you start as a quarterback's coach or something. You see if this is the life that you want to, that you want to live.
Yeah.
So.
That's it. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I mean, you're like, whoa, this is much different.
Yeah,
than
I mean, how would you like to get through the first 3 weeks of the season and all of a sudden Josh is like, damn, I want to go home and be with my family?
This is way more than I ever thought it could be. It is completely a team that doesn't give a crap about who says what
that
about
is
their
true.
Team. Because they've got everything going on.
They brought in David Culley and fired him in a year.
Right. And then the weird president is there too, right? What's his name? Easterby?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then of course, the biggest bombshell is what's going on with Deshaun Watson. What did he do? What's the league going to do about it? Is he going to play for that team? Are they going to trade him? It's a crazy scenario in that city.
Yeah, it could be a mess down there for a while.
All right, coming up next, you're going to be surprised. You're going to be probably happy. We have a big guest coming up next, a surprise guest for you coming up in a couple of minutes.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Here it comes.
Here it comes.
Here it comes.
Marchie and Greco.
By the way, you are a cute little wideout.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You missed me, didn't
That's
you?
Creepy.
I do think that's something one dude should say to another dude.
Yeah.
A little creepy.
Because it's Friday.
And you ain't got to do.
Every Friday on ESPN Woo! Chicago.
I haven't heard that in a long
time. I just said to the guys, I can cut bread with these things right now.
How about that surprise?
Holy moly.
On the line to talk to us about his Bills and Bills Mafia is the one, the only, the legendary Mark Gene Greco.
Oh, boys, boys.
I'm going to cry.
I miss you. I miss you so much.
Oh, I love you, man.
Love you guys. It's too bad that we've been getting together for memorial services lately, which has been horrible and tragic. And I just have to say right off the top, I was so honored, really honored and humbled to have been invited to Les Grobstein's service because it was a very small, intimate crowd, and the speakers were awesome. David Schuster, Bruce Levine, and to be included with all the old radio guys and the print guys is a real honor. And, of course, we're still thinking about JD every day, you know?
Yeah, yeah. How have you been, Marky? It's been a long while we've talked off the air and we've not stopped, you've even FaceTimed with my children, and they love talking to you.
They were so great.
Yeah, they
we've
know
got
you as
over.
Bill's Mark, yeah.
We've got them wearing Bills jerseys. I mean, you've taught them well. It's been great. You know, things have been rough for me lately. I have to admit, I'm down here. Just got off the pool deck rooftop with some cold beverages, looking at the sunset into the ocean. I can't tell you exactly where I am. It's a secret mission of debauchery and self-indulgence. So, you know, I'm on spring break 24/7 now, so.
How are you? How is your stamina? I mean, how are you holding up in terms of
stamina? What do you mean?
I'm just saying, you know, it's hard to party consistently over and over and over again.
Oh, that's stamina.
Tommy, you know that I'm not a great day drinker, and so I really have to practice that now. I mean, you and I, being the old guys, relatively speaking, when we used to go out with the crew, we would always outlast the little guys.
Yep.
Scared Nick Friedell and everybody would jump in a cab and go home, and then we'd have to stay out all night.
I'm a little drunk right now. I need to go home.
Yeah, my wife's going to be really upset.
Is that your silly voice?
No, we were talking about Nick.
Yeah. He doesn't have a wife.
So he just got kicked out of San Francisco, and now he's going to New York?
Yeah, he's in Brooklyn now. He's covering the Nets. Yeah. There's a lot of things you got to catch up on, Mark.
Speaking of that, I think with that, you just opened the door to tell Mark about your story from the other night that you let everybody in on
yesterday.
My
wife's in the car with the kids.
Yeah.
Right. You really?
Yes. We haven't talked to Mark in how long, and you're going to hold this story away from him?
This isn't the discussion about the bathroom door open or close when you're pooping.
No, it led into it. This is how all the potty talk happened yesterday. There was a house with four toilets
earmuffs,
in one bathroom. That went into, hey, do you poop with the door open or closed? And two, oh, my God, you'll never guess what Allie did in bed last night. And this was two nights ago. I wasn't in bed. I was watching the Bulls game downstairs, and I noticed that there was a different sheet on the bed because there was a rip in the sheet, and I knew there was not a previous rip in the sheet. Yes, Mark. Yes. And she starts laughing. I go, why is there a rip? I thought we got rid of this one. Why is this on the bed now? All of a sudden, in the middle of the week, this isn't the way things usually go down. And she laughed, and she starts giggling, and she goes, I can't
go
tell
down,
you. I
so
can't
to
tell
speak.
You.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Well,
and so, yes.
Wait a minute. We're on the air, and you're talking about your wife ripping one. What is the matter with you?
It gets worse. It gets worse. It gets worse.
No, you're jumping. You're jumping the gun here. I've said no such thing.
I don't even want to go to where you're going. But go ahead.
She. When I was not in the bed, she tried to rip one, and she failed.
Unsuccessfully.
And she failed.
She sharted herself.
In bed. Yes.
Oh, my God.
And she had a little got on the sheet.
She
would like to clarify. She was very upset about this earlier today. It wasn't like she had a full poop in bed. She called it, it's just a little nickel-sized thing.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. Just a little milk dud. Not a big steamer, just a little milk dud right there.
A rabbit jumped up on the bed.
Allie's going to divorce you. Why would you tell this story?
Yeah,
I know it's marriage and intimacy and that stuff happens.
And Marky, not only tell it once, but now for the second time at the urging of the two of us.
Well, it's a different audience. Right. No, you got
to more details
cycle.
Today.
We got an update now.
Jeez.
We did not get the milk dud update.
The little pebble.
Yeah. Nickel size.
Oh, well, remember when we were out and about and you would see a very lovely young lady who looked very fresh and fit, in which you'd say she farts peppermint. So I'm just going to assume that, Allie fits that category. And there was no smell. It was nothing. It was innocent. It was probably white. It was probably, like a little sugar-coated thing.
Smells like the ocean.
It was a pearl.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a pearl. And you could make a necklace out of it. Okay, let's move on to something else.
Wait, Marky, at your age, are you dropping milk duds when you don't want to at any point?
No, I'm lucky that everything is still working. I'm firing like torpedoes. Jeez. Well, listen, can I change the subject for a moment here?
Yes, you can.
I was going to say, Mark, we haven't skipped a beat. It's been a full year, and it's just like we just went right back to where we left off.
I love it so much. I love it. And we have to do the podcast version, so it can be as profane as hell.
Yes.
But I am so excited, obviously, about Sunday. Forget about the Bears and, Bill Polian getting paid by the recommendation, I guess, rather than $15 an hour, because they're interviewing 400 GM candidates and 900 coaching candidates. And, casting a broad net, to say the least, which tells me they still don't know what they're doing up there. So forget about it. And all the good guys are going to be taken, and then they're going to be stuck with some schmo. Now, we move on to the Bills. I don't want the OC or the DC to leave. You know how much I love Les Frazier. Brian Daboll is he's a local guy up there. He's revered. But I'm so happy for my cousin Sammy Giangreco, who's had season tickets for 60 years, lives in Auburn, New York, about 2 hours away from Buffalo. He is an amazing dude. His seats are in the front row behind the visitor's bench at the stadium, and he'd hang over a banner when you're allowed to have banners in stadiums that said Blue Lights, which was the name of his band. Because he was legendary in Western New York doing weddings and bar mitzvahs and everything else.
And what you should shine on Sylvie's sheets every night, I guess, as well. Go ahead.
Yeah, have Dave Savini checking that out. Yeah. A little DNA there we don't need to be seeing. But not only is he the most diehard Bills fan in the world, predating any Bills Mafia stuff, he's also an incredible tailgate chef. And he would cook for the players who'd come out and eat in the parking lot after the game, which was absolutely amazing. Best thing, his license plate says Bills 1, Bills and the numeral 1.
Wow.
And the late owner, Ralph Wilson, actually called him and said, hey, can I have that plate? And Sammy said, no, win a Super Bowl, we'll talk about it. The Buffalo News did a great story on him, and he's proud as hell. And now, of course, you know how I am. Bears fans, Bills fans, we're all the same. You think the worst. We're scared. My glass has always been half empty. So we could refill it,
Excellent,
Look, Chiefs are playing so much better. Their defense is better. You can just analyze the hell out of this. Bills have the best secondary in the league. Linebackers are playing great. Devin Singletary's offsetting, Josh Allen, helping him in the run game. Everything's going great on both sides of the football. Mahomes is settling for the little stuff rather than going deep and getting crazy and not protecting the football. To me, it just comes down to Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes carrying their teams. And I think, what's the over under, 54 and
54,
a half or something?
54, uh-huh. Yeah.
I say take the over. And it could be one of the greatest games of all time, although you usually pick the under in playoff games, right, especially divisional matchup, because things tighten up a little bit. I say take the over, and I think the Bills are still two-point dogs, right?
Yeah, yes. The Chiefs are two-point favorites. You're right about that.
And being at Arrowhead, they should have beat them before anyway. It's just I'm scared. I'm scared.
Will you be watching the game nervous?
Yes, I will. I don't know if we're going to go to a big crowded bar down here and watch it or just watch it privately. But, down in Florida, nobody's got a mask on, nothing. So I'm going to have to navigate that, see what, how that goes. Hey, I'm double vaxxed. I'm boosted. I'm double masked. I'm sanitized. I'm re-energized.
You're vaxxed and waxed, aren't
That's
you?
That's awesome. That's
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah, I got to get waxed. I think we might do that. If it rains, might get a little, whoa, Kelly Clarkson tomorrow. You know.
Can we continue the conversation? Are you good for another one?
What, you got to take a break here?
Yeah. You know how this business works. It's still radio, Mark. Yeah, right.
You're actually selling stuff? Well, that's good news.
It is, yes.
Yeah, I'm on my way to dinner right now, so let's make it fast.
Okay. Well, you go to dinner then.
Special.
Make it fast.
No.
Aren't you coming home from dinner?
People are so excited.
You're coming home from dinner.
I'm on the way. I think you should get Allie on the phone. I'd like to have a little conversation with her.
Okay, we'll see if she's up for that. All right, don't rub it in. I got a night. I'm going to the Bulls-Bucks game tonight in Milwaukee. All right.
Yeah, you just better go to a lot of games because you're getting nothing at home.
He's the one and only Mark Gene Greco on with us on ESPN 1000.
This hour brought to you by Northwestern Basketball, Chicago's Big Ten team. Coach Collins and the Cats host Illinois, Indiana, Purdue, and more in Big Ten play. Buy your tickets now at NUSports.com.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie
on ESPN 1000.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
We're talking to our old friend, the legendary Mark Gene Greco. He's down somewhere warm. He will not tell us where. We're talking Bills and Chiefs and life in general. Before you get to the early bird special for dinner.
Like I said, I think he's coming home, not going to dinner. He's coming back from it.
It's Eastern time. Come on. It's almost 8 o'clock here.
Almost 8.
Or 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock.
Yeah, it's 6:51.
Hey, I actually went to the gym today. I almost killed myself.
Really?
Because you're day drinking and then gym and then going out. I know.
What?
It's all out of sync. Hey, look, I worked a second shift for 50 years. Then, you know, it's hard to work the night shift now that I'm trying to work the first shift. You know, get up early.
Let me ask you a question. If you're day drinking and then going to the gym, what actually are you doing for exercises at the gym?
Dropping weights on my feet, walking in the mirrors.
Puking.
You know, you get down on the mat to do some crunches, just pass out for a couple seconds. You know. Hey, listen, I'm listening to the commercial break. I thought Allie could do commercials now for that what was that company?
Don't
hey,
say
I
adult
shipped
diaper.
My, I shipped my pants. I shipped my drawers. Remember, they had to take that off the air. It was a great commercial.
Not the only thing they took off the air.
Yeah, free shipping. Free shipping.
So
I can't believe you told that story.
Yeah, I know.
It's going to cost you big time. Now, the kids didn't hear it, did they? They're not going to go to school say, hey, my mom pooped in the bed.
No, I think it's a good, if anything, it's a good parenting moment because, look, it happens to the best of us.
I think what happens is it gives the kids an excuse just to drop a deuce right there in their own bed. Well, mommy does it, I'm going to do it.
You better not be doing that.
Absolutely. No. They'll be doing it in public, you know, in fountains, in, you know.
Hey, by the way, guess who we talked to a while ago? Pinto Ron. Do you know who Pinto Ron is?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The man who covers himself in mustard and ketchup and drives, I think it's a 69 Pinto.
It's great.
Station wagon. And it's all beat up. It still runs. Oh, yeah. He's a legend. He's legendary. Yeah. Not as legendary as Sammy Gian Greco, but he's really close.
That's true.
Yeah, he's driving to Kansas City right now. So, all right, we'll let you go. What's your prediction here?
I think that it's going to be a spectacular game. It's going to be high scoring. And unfortunately, the Bills are going to have their hearts broken. They're going to lose by two or three. It's going to be a field goal, or it's going to be a two-point conversion, or it could go overtime. I'm scared. But I'll be screaming and yelling.
Be confident. You got Josh freaking Allen on your team. He's good.
He's so good. He's so great. Do you see him shedding linebackers when he just takes off and run? I think they should have more design runs for him and not just broken plays. And like I say, they got a couple of running backs that are complementing him a little bit better now. You know, everybody doubles, digs, and so, you know.
Singletary's been really good.
Yeah, as much as I hate those little outs with Beasley, little five-yard things, you know. By the way, get vaccinated, Beasley. Come on. I think at one point during the season, the Bills were the least vaccinated team in the league, which, you know, that cost them. But so far, my sources tell me, and my sources being my high school buddies, that everybody's healthy, nobody's hurt, no new wave of COVID, so
right,
both sides are going to have full complement of players.
There's not a single starter in these games. I believe there's a backup cornerback for one of the teams. I think there's only like one person on the COVID list, which is great of all the teams left.
Yeah, you know, everybody loves Kelce, and I do too. He's the best tight end of football still, but number 88, Knox. He's a great go-to guy. He's a great security blanket for Allen. So
you're right. That's a good call by you. All right, good luck.
I love
They're
you
gonna
guys.
Win.
Love you, Marky.
Love you. Great catching up, and hopefully it's not the only time.
Yeah.
Have a great stay down
we'll
wherever
be in
you
touch.
Are.
I know, thanks, but I'm going to call Allie right now.
See you, Mark. There's the one and only Mark Jean. We thought
classic.
We had to have him back on the air for the Bills.
Surprised at all that he is. That's the essence of Mark. He is so hopeful about his Bills, but he won't allow himself to actually pick them because he's afraid that they will break his heart.
Right. I mean, nothing skipped a beat since the last time we had him on, whether it's his Bills angst.
We had to dump him. Did we have to dump him?
Yeah, we did.
We did dump him.
Get out of here. Really?
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Over the shipping thing?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we thought it was originally, you know. He might have been rusty on what he knew he was on. And
I think he used a T instead of a P.
Yeah, I think the first time he used a T instead of a P and then may have corrected himself. Plus, it wouldn't be a Mark Jean Greco hit if...
By the way, Carm made a big mistake earlier today as well.
What happened?
Yeah. Let me see. I got to go back to the text chain. You know how I like to say, you did say ship, right?
He encouraged that the fine folks watch the Peacock Network.
Yes.
If you catch my drift,
yes, and there was a reference to a bet. He said, "I can't say it," but he said something that wasn't meant to be dirty, but when applied accordingly, it was dirty, and they didn't dump it.
This was on their show today. This wasn't in the text chain.
No. This was on the show, and Carm was joining Cap and Jay Hood, giving them a gambling preview. At like 9:40, or what was it, like 9:45 is when he came on? Yeah. He had a slip of the tongue.
Wow.
I found it quite humorous.
All right. Black and Abdallah coming up. They'll continue to preview everything with the NFL. I'm sure they've got plenty on the coaching search as well.
I got another note for you. Za'Darius Smith has been activated for the Green Bay Packers.
Okay.
So he's a guy I don't think he's played all year.
No, yeah.
But has been their best pass rusher the last couple of seasons.
You talked a lot about him all year, that they've been doing it without him all year.
Yeah.
So I am heading over to the Bulls-Bucks game.
Yes.
Fingers crossed that it will be at least a good game. I cannot handle another one of these blowouts. Like Golden State and Brooklyn.
Are the Bucks at full strength tonight?
I haven't looked, but I think they have been.
Okay.
They haven't been a lot this year, but I think they're getting close to it if they're not tonight.
Enjoy the game, and here's hoping that the boys enjoy the game as well.
All right, we'll be back on Monday. Hopefully there'll be some developments with the Bears' search for GM and head coach. Thank you to Mark Jean Greco, Carmen DeFalco as well. We had Pinto Ron on the show and Jason Wilde. Thank you to Black and Abdallah for their great work. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great weekend.